This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 104 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mac. I once said that to Tony Atlas, and he goes, Mac? I go, no, Mike. Mac? No, Mike. Mac? No, Mike. Just write down what you think it is, Tony. He wrote down Mac, M-A-C-K. And then I wrote down Mike, M-I-K-E. And then he still wrote to Mac. So I don't know if he was messing with me or I don't know.
Are you messing with me?
I'm just talking normal, like friends do.
Well, you said it's episode 104, and it's only episode 103.
No, it's 104.
No, it's 103.
104.
No, because last week we did 102 Dalmatians.
No, that was the week before.
I'm looking at my notes, and I got episode 103 here.
You're going to make me go check this. It's 104. NerdyLegion.com, podcast, what did you watch this week? It's Flash time. Fuck.
What'd you find, Mike?
I found that you misnumbered the podcast last week.
Funny thing, when
erroneously.
The podcast numbering is done automatically on Martin's end, so it must have been him misnumbering.
Martin has got some explaining to do. It's just like that time when we couldn't do episode 96.
Right.
It's just like that. it's just like that time. Back around around Christmas time. Welcome to episode 103.
For those of you who haven't left yet and haven't gone, oh my God, I missed an episode.
And it's Mike.
Now, which voice is this?
Shut up, John.
Keep doing all these weird voices. I'm trying to keep up.
This is supposed to be 8 Baker's Dozen episode, and now it's not. Now it's 7.9 Baker's Dozen.
It will be next week.
Maybe next week's like going to be 7.936.
Yeah. Next week will be 236.
Yeah, who knows?
Speaking to you from the future. Time force manipulation.
I ordered a... ordered a Doctor Who t-shirt from Rip Tees.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Or Tee Public. One or the other. Hmm? It's the one giant-sized doctors. I think I've showed it to you before. It's like the comic book cover.
Oh, yeah.
It's got all the way up to Capaldi on it. It's got like the new like five on the bottom and then the old one and it looks like a comic book cover. And they're having a 30% off sale. And I was like, damn it, I'm doing it.
I love those sales.
So like, I've been sitting on that since like fall. Kind of, I don't know.
Yep.
Did it. Can't wait to get that in the mail.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what'd you watch this week?
Stuff and Things.
Me too.
Awesome. Well, thanks for listening. tune in next week.
Tune in next week for episode 259.
So Timeless is back.
Timeless is back.
We're recording this Thursday the 22nd of March.
Correct.
We're talking shows that we witnessed prior to the 18th.
Correct.
So I've actually watched the first two episodes of Timeless.
I've watched the first one.
And my wife and I watched the second episode tonight. We're still behind on This Is Us, though. When Timeless came back, my wife wanted to watch that more than This Is Us. So hopefully this weekend we can try and get This Is Us taken care of.
So last week we were supposed to talk about This Is Us, but we didn't.
Right.
There have been three episodes that we haven't talked about yet. There was Vegas Baby.
I watched that one.
Okay. This Wonderful Life.
No.
And The Wedding.
No. And The Wedding is the season finale, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, no, we're behind on the two episodes.
Okay. We'll play catch up on that.
I thought we talked about Vegas Baby.
I think we did.
We did talk about that one. So we're behind on those other two. It's because Timeless is back. And I went to New York last week, so I was gone for a couple nights, three days, and then working and whatnot. Working. So it's left us with not a lot of time.
Right.
To sit down and watch a show.
Yep.
Yeah. That and my wife is from the prairies, and when the sun goes down, she suddenly feels the urge to go to bed some nights.
I don't understand that.
She legitimately, like, when the sun rises, she's like, oh, it's time to get up. And then when the sun goes down, she's like, oh, why is everyone still awake? Because it's 7 o'clock at night.
Because this isn't the 1700s?
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, tonight she made a special effort to stay up till 8:45 so we could finish Timeless.
Did you have to keep nudging her awake?
No, she likes the show a lot, so she was good with it.
It is a very, very good show.
Excellent show. It was a good, really good episode. I look forward to talking about it next week. Anywho, so Timeless.
Timeless.
Back for the season that almost wasn't.
Yes. Still one of the, probably the coolest uncanceling stories I've ever heard.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, they were canceled. It was on the fence. They were canceled. Eric Kripke was shopping around trying to find somebody else to take it, like Netflix or something. What was it, 3 days later?
3 days, yeah.
You know, the guy who plays Wyatt posted something on Twitter. It was a video of himself saying, oh, we just used the lifeboat. We got back and we undid the mistake of the past and we uncanceled ourselves. We're going to be getting a second season. We don't know how long it'll last, but, you know, we're coming back.
And it was excellent.
It was so excellent.
That was excellent.
Like, it was publicity done right. Loved it.
Yeah, it really was. So we pick right up kind of where the other season left off.
Yeah, it's been, 6 weeks, did they say?
Well, it picked right up almost immediately, and then it gave us a 6 weeks later because there was an explosion.
Yes.
Where they're waiting for Lucy to come back, and we find out that Lucy's mom is Rittenhouse.
Yes, and proud Rittenhouse.
Very proud Rittenhouse, which...
direct blood lineage.
Yeah, it's so weird watching this because you have Lucy's mom, who, when we first were introduced to her, she was dying from cancer.
Yep. Barely able to even breathe.
And then the first time Lucy goes back in time and they change history, now her sister doesn't exist. Which, that was such a focal point in the first season. And now,
they kind of threw it in the first episode, like mentioning it a couple times. Like, I'm going to find her no matter what.
We only had the two episodes so far, and I feel like it's going to be a non-factor anymore. They're going to phase it out somehow. Because her mom doesn't know her sister ever existed.
Right.
And doesn't seem fazed by the fact she doesn't exist. Because as you saw... Okay, so I'm jumping to the end of the episode, but people have already watched it, so who
cares? It's a time travel show.
As you saw at the end of the episode, when Emma's like, oh, I went to the... I took the mothership out, and I did all kinds of things to make sure your sister never exists.
Yeah.
No matter what you try to do.
Yeah.
So it's like... And her mom's like, meh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know this person.
So... Whatever. Emma's another person I've established where, okay, correct me if I'm wrong on this.
Okay.
When we first met her,
yeah,
she was hiding out in the 1880s.
In a cabin in the woods.
In a cabin in the woods because she was trying to hide from Flynn and Rittenhouse and everything else.
That was her story.
Right. Am I wrong to say that when we last saw her last season, that was kind of still her story?
I don't think so. Because
I guess I don't remember them, because all I know is this season, she's fucking sociopathic killer.
When they first met her, she was like that. But then it turned out she had her own plans. She was like, I'm going to take the lifeboat or the mothership, and I'm going to do my own thing and blah, blah, blah. Because she was carrying out the machinations of Rittenhouse, kind of like this German guy with a cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, she was more of a plant than anything.
See, I feel like that wasn't what she was initially.
No, when we I don't first think it was her. Either. I think that they changed
and
that.
And they've completely changed it now with this season where she's a plant.
Yes.
Or sleeper agent that they've established, like the German captain who had the cell phone back in World War I.
Yep.
And he was there in Rose's house. Like, and they basically make you think that, okay, there's all these sleeper agents all through time.
Right.
You know,
including the ones that she has now gone back and put in place to ensure that, like, the kid doesn't exist. How did she ensure that this girl's never going to exist?
Kill the dad.
That's one stop. That's not seven or eight stops, like she said. That's
exactly
one stop. You know, the whole thing that happened here was that the dad and her got together and he got her hooked on smoking. She got cancer, died.
Yeah.
But they got together long enough to have the girl. So.
Right.
Kill the dad. One stop.
Yeah.
One stop shop and you're done.
But anyhow, so Mason's Industries is destroyed.
Lucy's working for her mother as kind of her own, I'm going to make them think they can trust me until I can stop them.
Because she believes that all of her friends and everybody else died in the blast.
Rufus, everyone else is dead.
And most of them are. Most of the people that worked there are dead. Wyatt has a lot of shrapnel in his back from this explosion.
Yeah.
A lot of metal pieces embedded in there.
But Wyatt, Rufus, Rufus's girlfriend, I can't think of her name, the one that has the visions of the future.
Yep. The engineer who invented the time machine, who seems to be, like, there's something not quite right about him.
Well, you'll see more in this episode what it is.
He's just, in the first episode, he's like, he's forgotten how to do things. He's forgotten how he built the time machine. Yeah. He's forgotten how to fix it. Like, it's like he lost his engineering skills.
But there's you'll see in this episode what happened, kind of, in the second episode. But yeah, I know what you're saying. And
so Lucy thinks everybody's dead. So she's like, I'm just going to work inside Rittenhouse until she can
destroy the mothership somehow. Yes.
Because as long as she can destroy the mothership, she can stop Rittenhouse from doing what they're trying to do.
And here's the thing, and I think Emma's right to be suspicious of Lucy, because after 6 weeks they take her on a mission, it's not a lot of time to brainwash someone or have someone become, you know, conform to your way of thinking.
It really isn't. Especially someone who's been fighting you this whole time.
Yeah, exactly. And so they go to September 14th, 1918, to France during World War I to look for a soldier named Nicholas Keynes.
Yeah, something like that.
Keynes, K-E-Y-N-E-S.
Yep.
And essentially Lucy's thought is, well, if they want to save him, then I need to kill him. So, but they run into Marie Curie, her daughter.
Lucy kills her first person.
Lucy kills someone only because she knew some, like, Emma was going to kill him otherwise. And this, you know.
She's like, this guy is going to die no matter what.
Exactly. So she was kind of okay with it.
But the weird thing is, like, sorry, I'm jumping ahead too, but like, this guy that they were looking for should have died on the battlefield.
Yes.
But they wanted to save him because they had papers that he had written that were outlining the entire world domination plan of Rittenhouse.
He
had some ideas that he wrote down.
Well, no, not only that, they established at the end of the episode that he is Rittenhouse.
Basically, he is Rittenhouse.
He is, like, he wrote the everything they live by and what they go by.
The
he
scriptures,
wrote.
As it were.
Exactly.
But here's the thing. Did he write them before going to war? Or, like, is this one of those time loop things where they had to save him so that he could write them so that they know to save
him? I think they must have written them before going to war because they have them all already.
Okay.
They got them from him.
But then why were they saving him? Like, I guess maybe he wrote them and they were like, well, there's so much more you can do than just write these things.
And maybe that's what it is. Maybe Rittenhouse got their plans from him. And then now when they realize they can go back in time and save him, that's what they're going to do because he can do so much more than what he already did. Because
he's planning all this stuff with a time machine. He's like, if we had a time machine, we could go back and do this, this.
Right.
And like their roadmap for world dominance.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. Now that we have the time machine, we're going to go back and save him.
Yeah.
So I think he was always intended to be killed. And he's Lucy's great-grandfather, established by the end of the episode.
Yep.
And so, you know, now that they have the time machine, they go back in time, and now he can do even more, create even more, give them even more information.
Right.
And so essentially they go back to save him. Lucy stops Emma from killing Marie Curie and her daughter.
It's a good thing.
Emma's going to kill them because, you know, fuck them, missions first.
Yeah, and these are witnesses. They've seen the mothership.
And Wyatt and Rufus gets the lifeboat back up to par. And Wyatt...
Because they're sealed away in a bunker.
They're in a military installation so that way Rittenhouse can't get to them, but so they don't want to be out public. They want people to know they're around.
Right, because they want Rittenhouse to believe that they were destroyed.
But Rittenhouse clearly knows they're back. However, they don't know where they are, so they're going to be living in a bunker for the rest of their lives or until they stop Rittenhouse.
Yep.
Wyatt and Rufus go back in time because they're able to track the mothership again like they could previously.
Right.
Which I posed the question tonight, can they track the lifeboat?
Right.
Which I don't think they can.
Remember, they could track when it departed and where it went.
Yeah.
But they couldn't track where it was until they did, like, a whole bunch of stuff and figured out a way to...
Correct. But, like, you would think they'd be able to track the lifeboat the same way.
Right. So
unless it doesn't have that bit of technology on it.
They went back in time before us and went back to this part.
See, that's the other thing is right now the lifeboat was... Lifeboat reacts as the horse has gotten out of the gate. We got to go after it.
That's the thing. That's why it was called the lifeboat, because it was designed so that if something went wrong with the mothership, it could home in on it and go to it.
Okay, thank you.
So probably doesn't have that kind of technology.
Okay, doesn't have reverse. Okay. Right. So Wyatt and Rufus show up.
Brilliance on the writer's part.
Yeah. Wyatt and Rufus show up. They find Lucy. Lucy's happy to see him. Hugs all around. And then she's like, you guys got to go.
Yeah. I'm doing stuff. She's We're picking up the great big old World War One pineapple grenades.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll put a couple of these in my purse.
Yeah.
And then leave it out on the floor for somebody to stumble
and
across.
And Emma finds them, yeah.
Yeah, because Emma's mistrustful, like you said, right?
And Emma wants to shoot and kill Lucy in this episode.
Several times.
And her and Carol, Lucy's mother's the only thing that stops Emma, because she outranks her.
Not because she's bulletproof, but because she outranks her.
She outranks her, yeah. And so, ultimately, at the end, there's a Mexican standoff where Emma's got the Mercuries, and Lucy and company, they got great-granddad there, crazy Rittenhouse writer, and they do a person swap, and then everyone gets away.
Yep, pretty much.
And Lucy and goes back with Wyatt and Rufus.
Yep.
And they've set up for the new season. And, of course, it ends with them finding out that Keyes wrote all the Rittenhouse literature. And that Carol is, that's her grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Lucy's great-grandfather.
And that Rittenhouse has apparently made 10 trips in the past 6 weeks.
Yes.
Allegedly dropping off sleeper agents in different time periods.
Yep. And isn't there only 10 episodes in the season?
Yep.
And then we see Garcia Flynn at the end of the episode.
Yes.
Where they're like, we need your help. And he's like, I'll only talk to Lucy.
Yep.
Except in his accent.
I was all excited.
Yeah. Well, they put his name in the opening credits.
I didn't even look. I was like, no.
See, I saw his name in the opening credits. So I'm like, oh, he's going to be here at some point. And I'm like, I haven't seen him yet. There he is. So, but yeah, it was a great return.
Yeah.
It was a really good return. And I'll tell you right now, episode 2 is great.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's Can't wait to watch
it. I've been holding off all week on watching any of the shows because I didn't want to get that cross-wiring type thing.
Same here, but we watched that tonight because it was our opportunity to, and it's just a fun, good episode, good television, very enjoyable. The Detour.
Good episode.
The Plane.
Yes. So it turns out Vanessa ratted on them.
Yes.
That's why this whole thing started, was because she cut herself a deal and said, this is where they are. They're in Alaska, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Set them all up.
And then I like how the UPIS agent has a dog canine shot collar on her. Because instead of having like a tracking bracelet,
right,
she's got a shot collar. And I love when she goes to run away and she zaps her. Her unprofessionalism is just stupendous.
It really is. Yeah. And other people are noticing it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Her driving the mail truck down the runway.
This is my official vehicle. Can't that piece of junk go any faster? No, it can't. Why are you driving that? This is my official federal vehicle.
I love it in the beginning when Nate goes up there to the apartment.
Yeah,
he sees all the stuff, and he falls down the stairs. And he's laying there. She's just like, want to get a bite to eat?
Yeah.
You're going to want to have this meeting.
Yeah, and then they go sit there, and she's basically, like, saying, you want to have sex? I'm wicked, wicked, horny enough. That is inappropriate.
Right.
You know, like, just being 100% batshit crazy. And then finally the FBI goes, we called your office. You're on a sabbatical for some mental health issues.
Yeah.
This is an unauthorized, you know, da-da-da-da. So,
when it comes to comedy,
yeah,
some gags are overdone. Some gags do it just right.
The Siegel shit was
way overdone. You know what they did just right, in my opinion? The volume on the headsets in the airplane.
Oh, my God. That was great.
He's, like, talking to her, and she's, like mouthing it. You couldn't hear. And he's, like, your volume's off. So she cranks it all the way up, and she's, like, screaming in their ears. And they just kept going back and forth between it. It was done so well. I loved it. I laughed so hard. I had to actually stop it at one point.
The pilot.
Oh, Jesus. And you knew he was going down.
And how horribly slow he was talking and everything.
And then in the videos.
Yeah.
The videos that he made. Today we're going to show you how to...
To skip ahead. Oh, that's too far.
What's with the music in the background? Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was good. Oh, we've lost service. I don't know what to do. It was good stuff.
Is he breathing? I don't know. His volume's at a reasonable level. Cut right back to the volume, Dad. And then Jerob, like, trying to Google things like what to do if your pilot – how to land a plane if your pilot is sleepy.
Yeah.
Because the guy's name was Sleepy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff.
I love that. She's like, there was a plane crash. These people are lost out there. And he's like, lady, this is Alaska. There's always a plane crash.
She is very pregnant.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Could be food pregnant again.
Again, yeah. Because she was packing away those pancakes.
Good times. Yeah. I don't know. I just love the shock collar. The dog, the canine shock collar around the sister's ankle. That was
awesome. And she believed it, too. She's like, I've got an ankle bracelet. I can't go farther monitoring me. He's like, where'd you get an ankle bracelet? She's like,
Cut, too. It's like a Family Guy thing. Cut, too. You got anything bigger than this? In the pet store.
Yep. Oh, that was great.
Hey, let's talk about L.A. to Vegas.
Yes, let's talk about L.A. to Vegas.
Ronnie gets evicted from her partner, from her apartment after, you know, setting the garage chute on fire.
Yeah, which
seems reasonable.
Yeah, well, it seems reasonable to us, but, You know, she's like, why didn't they just see the positive that I'm trying to quit smoking?
Right, right. So she couch surfs first with Bernard. That doesn't work out. He's got a lot of rules.
Yes.
A lot of rules.
Which, the stuffy British guy has a lot of rules? No.
No, Bernard's the black flight attendant.
Yeah. Thank you.
They never try to room with.
Oh him, no, that's right. No, guy, yeah. Bernard with the kimono.
Yes, and he's like, and never go with the red door, bitch.
And then at the end, she's like, "Where's the red door?
What red door, bitch?" And then Captain Dave. I mean, sorry, Steve. The captain. I can't think if it's Dave or Steve right now.
Captain Dave.
Thank you, Captain Dave. Takes her to parking lot B.
Which is a very interesting microcosm of...
It's like a little community of its own of people living there. And
I would never be comfortable there.
No, no. And they have, but they all seem to work well together. And, of course, Ronnie screws everything up.
Right. Because she, like,
she's too over the top, too laid back, drinking too much wine, being too obnoxious, making out with two brothers.
Yeah.
You know.
Setting them against each other.
Yeah.
So, sitting around in a bikini the whole time.
So she gets kicked out of there.
Yep. But also, she kind of ruins it for Captain Dave, because I wanted to call him Captain Ron for a second there.
Yeah. That was a good movie. And then she moves back in with Bernard to help teach herself discipline.
Yeah.
That's her plan.
Yeah, that's going to go well.
The B story is Colin, who got some student reviews, got some poor reviews.
Yes.
And so this was actually pretty damn awesome. Nicole agrees to help him.
She was really good at it.
Yeah, to help him, like, using her stripper skills and technique to help him learn how to be a better, more entertaining, enjoyable teacher.
Yep. Which, so, some of the stuff was a little awkward.
Oh, like when he gave the student a shoulder rub and the student finished?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny.
Or like dropping his pen and then bending down to pick it up.
Yeah. And Artem was also there to help out.
Because Artem's great.
Yeah, Artem.
Wants to help out with everything.
Yeah, and Captain Dave was trying to avoid Artem because he owed him some money. As well.
So and good. Artem's like so pleasant about it. You know, I'll catch you next time.
And then he shows up at parking lot B. Well, how did you know we're here? Oh, I posted something about it. Ronnie, you're not supposed to be doing any social media from here. So Artem goes in and takes belongings of Captain Dave to make up for the money he lost.
There was that one woman. She wasn't the mood person. She was the vibe.
Yeah.
Like, she measured the vibe.
What's the vibe, Angela?
She'd be like, it's chill.
Yeah.
And then she's like, the vibe is harsh. And he's like, harsh! It's never been harsh! Like, that was her whole purpose in the entire place, was just to read the vibe and let them know what it was.
But it was just a funny episode.
Yep.
Funny, good story. I like I really enjoy the interaction of the regular flyers, Artem and Nicole and Colin.
Yes.
With the staff. But in this week's episode, you had like the staff over here daring their thing and the flyer, the passengers over here doing their own thing.
Yep.
And how they interact with each other's lives, both in LA and in Vegas.
Yep.
And, I think it's funny. It's good.
I like that show.
Let's see here. Superstore? Do we have a Superstore to talk about?
Amnesty Day.
Oh, my God, that was so great. Dina's 100% right in this thing.
Yeah.
If you go, okay, we know what you did. You know what you did. Unless you come and throw yourself on the sword here, you know,
it's going to be worse for you.
Right.
So you come talk to us, and this is the one day only where you won't get in trouble for it as long as you fess up to it, because this is serious. So she's completely vague about it.
Yep.
To show Glenn everyone has something they're hiding.
And that's all she was doing. They weren't trying to find out what was going on at the store. Yep. They weren't trying to – nothing had – as I said by the end, nothing had happened.
Yep.
But they wanted to – and she just wanted to prove a point to Glenn that everyone is a monster.
Yep. And pretty much everyone is a monster.
Yep. That story I liked. I could really do without this whole stupid Jonah and Amy. Like, everybody's like, oh, look, they're together. Oh, there's the condoms over there.
Yeah, they kissed and everything. And then, Kelly, doesn't that bother you? Well, that was before I even worked at the store and knew either one of them, so why would it bother me?
Right. But then in true Jonah and Amy fashion, they just can't let it go. And, oh, well, we pretended to kiss so that everybody would, like, leave us alone about it. But then we got too close.
And then they actually kissed, yeah.
So you actually kissed. Well, no, we were pretending and our lips touched.
Because Jonah's thought was tell Amy to own it so that way people can't picker on it, which is a good.
But then they went,
over the top. Too far. And then, of course, and I did like how they did the parody of like Aha's Take on Me.
Oh my God.
The video.
That was impressive.
With them kissing and everything. I like how that kept popping up.
And it was
variations of them kissing through the whole thing, that video.
Yeah. It was Sandra who was taking the class. Yeah.
And, okay, and then you find out the fact where Amy confesses she had a crush on Jonah and Jonah didn't know. And so now all of a sudden he's awkward. And then when they all realize, oh, wait, he really didn't know that she liked him. Then they all felt bad.
Right.
And now they don't want to pick on her for it. And just now they're just like, are you okay?
But then you've got Kelly who's like, I'm not okay with this.
Yeah, exactly. Kelly's just like, wait a second. You actually liked her?
Yeah.
Or you still do?
So you two both liked each other? And yeah.
So now and neither one of you knew, but now you know. And so that I like how it turned real.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I didn't mind that part. I loved some of the amnesty stuff, though. Like finding out that Sandra and that other one have a feud going on, and it's massive feud.
And like Sandra wants her dead.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then when they announce it in there, you know, the preacher who comes in at the end and he goes, "I understand that you want your coworker dead." And she's like, "Yes, yes, I do." She's tried to do stuff to my lunch, but that's why I bring in an extra lunch. Oh, you didn't think that I knew about your extra lunch?
Yeah. Side of Sandra, I didn't know. And then Garrett and Cheyenne trying to figure out a way to take advantage of it. Because if they do something wrong now and then confess to it, then they'll get amnesty for it. Yeah.
And all Cheyenne can come up with is wearing a hat because it's against dress code.
Yeah.
And then she's sitting in the meeting. She's like, look, I'm wearing a hat.
And then at the end, Glenn's like, all right, Garrett, what do you have to confess to? Nothing. And so because Garrett didn't do anything, he's like, oh, Glenn. You know, he's like, you know, Glenn's like, oh, Garrett, not even say I told you. And he kisses Glenn on the head, Garrett on the head, and walks away. And Dina's just like, way to go, Garrett. He goes, that man astounds me, his ability to take the smallest little thing and make it feel like, oh, see, everyone's great.
Right.
And Garrett's like, I know what's happening now, and I'm not okay with him kissing me on the head.
Oh, and don't forget, too, that the very last thing that we see is that Jeff quit his job.
Yes, because Mateo was paranoid about Jeff turning him in for being undocumented.
Right, he thought that that's the thing that they were saying, you know, somebody did something wrong here and you got to turn yourself in. So, but Jeff quit his job and looks like a beach bum because he wants to be with Mateo.
Mm-hmm.
And this way he doesn't have to have the conflict of interest or, you know, working in the same store or turning him in for being undocumented.
Yep.
You know, I've seen Mateo through all the seasons of the show.
Yep.
Even if Mateo was an attractive female, there's way too much baggage there. I don't know what Jeff was thinking, but I guess it takes all kinds. But, you know, for him to, like, give up being a district manager at a job that he obviously liked quite a bit for a guy, I don't know. That's not going to end well. Because now I think Mateo's going to feel that Jeff resents him for it. Blah, blah, blah. We'll get some drama out of that.
Probably. I'm nodding, and I realize now that's not good for an audio podcast.
Yeah, you're staring at your screen, nodding. You're like,
well, I'm nodding to you, and I'm thinking, all right, which show am I going to talk about next? And so I'm kind of reading my notes. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. Oh, this is audio, not visual.
Right.
I need me to respond. Was Lethal Weapon not on this week?
Correct.
Okay, because I'm looking at my notes, so I'm like, these look very familiar. I must not have deleted them. I did not watch Legends, but I know what happened.
Okay. Did you watch Flash?
I did watch Flash, the one where we get the metahuman with fire powers who wants to rob the bank, and then we find the metahuman who can switch people's DNA. That was kind of some weak sauce.
It was. I liked a couple of things in this episode. One, yeah. I loved Cisco's TGIF shirt with the giant Jason mask on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
TGIF.
Yes, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. I once again, love the banter between Harry and Cisco.
Yeah.
You know, one thing in particular. He's like, you have 6 PhDs? He's like, 7. Which one of them is in mad science? Mad science is an area of study. It's not a degree. Just love that. But one thing that was big out of that, I mean, we got the whole temporarily Iris is a speedster. Really could have done without it.
She made a tidal wave.
Yeah, which Barry's never done.
Yeah.
But more so than that, Harry has now worked on and successfully recreated the thinking cap. And is using it on himself because he's trying to outthink DeVoe.
Yep.
It takes somebody with that level of genius to outwit somebody with that level of genius. He's trying to see what this guy is planning. And it's going to be dangerous because Harry's already a little unstable.
Yep.
He's a little angry. And you give him that kind of thinking power and it's possibility for a villain in the making.
A little concerned, yeah. A little concerned.
I'm not going to lie, though. I would not be upset to see bad Harry as a villain maybe in next season. Not as, like, the grand, like, oh, we're going to make him like Savitar where it's all a big mystery thing. No, just straight up, like, egomaniacal kind of thing, you know? I'm smarter than all of you. I can do all this.
I almost don't like that because I like Harry and Cisco's witty banner.
I love it.
I like this is my favorite incarnation of Harry.
Yeah, actually.
Of all the different versions we've had so far.
Yep.
So I kind of hope not. I'd rather see something else.
I understand that because I do like him as well,
yeah.
But I wouldn't be upset because I think that they could do, if they did it right, they could do a good run, kind of like the way that they're handling Killer Frost when we first met her versus Killer Frost now.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I think they could do
something. You know, one thing I've noticed about this show and Arrow and Supergirl and everything is all these superhero shows seem to have a long, long, you know, or story arc that goes over multiple, you know, like DeVoe's the big bad villain this season.
Right.
Whatever. There's always got to be a big bad villain.
Yep.
You know, and shows like, say, Law and Order, they can manage to do week to week without having a big bad villain, if you will, every week. You know, there's some continuing storylines, but for the most part, you know, they have a new crime every week. I would like to see Flash come back next season and maybe the first few episodes is just a new crime every week.
I could see that.
I'd like to see something like that. And then once we get a few episodes under our belt, let's then slowly establish a villain. Not have someone pop up in the first episode, and then we forget about him here and there.
Right.
Let's, you know, I really like to see that. And, yep. And if it is Harry, you know, slowly becoming more and more crazy or whatever it is, maybe that isn't such a horrible thing. But I don't know. I'd like to just see some, like, I feel like it's almost like Supernatural. They've given it too much to the point where every season has to have some sort of big bad baddie and, you know, to get us through the season. Just try not to do that.
Well, you figure it's the same formula that they have for the weekly stuff, except for stretched out. You know, weekly, it's we start off the episode, everyone's happy. We get introduced to a villain.
Yeah.
We try to fight the villain and we fail. We come back together. We have heartfelt moments. We figure out a way to fight the villain. We go at him again. We fight him. We win. And everybody's happy.
Yeah.
That's the same formula for the season long. You know, we're introduced to the villain, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So you're right. If they tried to go with a different formula, you know, and to their credit, Arrow's kind of doing that because right now there is no established one solid villain. You know, that's
true. And it makes me not want to watch Arrow because the big baddies on Arrow is them fighting with each other.
Right. It's them fighting with each other, or it's Black Siren, or it was Caden James, and now, you know, we've got that douchebag there that I love as an actor, Kirk Acevedo.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. But, you know, they don't have the one overarching bad guy that's been going the whole season. And, yeah, they're not doing it very well on Arrow.
Right.
But Legends, you said you did not watch it.
I didn't watch it, but I know what happened. Elvis Presley has the death totem in his guitar.
Yeah.
How was this episode?
It wasn't bad. They took the same route that they took with George Lucas. You remember how George Lucas got scared in that one episode, and so suddenly Nate and Ray weren't the same people that they were, and they had forgotten stuff because his influence wasn't there. Well, now, like, the hair gel that Nate uses doesn't exist anymore, because that's what Elvis used for hair gel, and that's what he's always used, so that doesn't exist. You know, music never took off, rock and roll never took off, so it wasn't bad. It was with the Death Totem, he saw his twin brother that had died. Elvis saw his twin brother, yeah. And that's what inspired him to write the music. That's what that was his muse, and his brother was always there with him. But when he would play the music, the Death Totem would incarnate, and it would bring the spirits of all the dead back. And so in the paradoxical timeline, the town got wiped out, including Elvis. Oh, he got committed because he went crazy because the town got wiped out. So they committed him, and he never went on to make music. But they took the Death Totem from him. The end. You know, it was good. But I was thinking about it as I'm watching this episode. I know that you and I had talked about the Fire Totem. And you said that you were thinking that they were going to bring back
Firestorm.
Jax. Yep. I'm wondering if they're going to give it to Rory.
Oh, yeah, because he's the fire guy. That makes kind of sense, too, yeah.
He is the fire guy. They've been slowly giving him more of a meaty part on the ship. You know, he's not like a leader, but he has some leadership qualities and stuff. So I'm wondering if they're going to go that route.
And he's really the only one that he doesn't really have powers per se either.
Right.
He's got a gun that shoots a flame that apparently doesn't kill people, just somehow makes them run away.
And they referenced it in Flash because that guy melted through the thing and they were like, that's like 10 times hotter than Rory's heat gun or something like that. So yeah, it wasn't a bad episode. Got a little more into the mythology of the totem. So now we've got a sixth totem. I don't know why death would be the totem. I mean, we have spirit, the four elements, and then death. Yeah.
But, I guess.
And it gives you power over all dead things.
Circle of life?
Guess so.
Death's in there, I guess. Yeah.
So now all of them have been named. We know where all of them are. You know, the legends have the Earth one from the Cursed Island. They have the Fire one that they're rebuilding. They now have Death, and they have Air.
Yeah.
And the bad guys have Water and Spirit.
I hear Wally's ticking everybody off.
Yeah, well, they're having a hard time, and I don't know if it's the writers or if it's this team. They're having a hard time dealing with having a speedster around regularly with these people.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, oh, you want Elvis's guitar? And he just, like, zips off and comes back, and he's like, here's the guitar. I got it. And they're like, you can't do it that way. And he's like, why not? Nobody saw me. I just literally went, got the guitar, and brought it back. Well, you can't do it that way. Like, the girl there with the air totem, she's all mad at him. She's like, no. Like, sometimes it takes finesse. And he's like, I literally just ran in there, grabbed it, and left. I mean, that's finesse. So she was all mad at him and like, teaching him that sometimes you got to slow down.
The silence is funny to me.
Like, do things with subtlety or, you know, try to lie your way into a situation. No, you don't.
There we go.
Yep.
On the Blacklist, I did not watch the most recent episode.
Oh.
Was it good?
It is good. Okay. I mean, it's not like one of those, oh my god, this is the best, but it's a good episode.
I did watch the episode with the poisoner person.
Yeah.
And you were 100% right. That little pricky thing in her glove was absurd.
It was like 10 needles an inch long.
It was no.
Like, if I came up to shake your hand, you're going to look at my hand. Instinct. Somebody puts something in front of you, you look at it.
Yeah, that would have been completely noticeable. That was horrible. And then you're right, she pulls the gun out. She could have pulled the gun and then hit him.
Yes.
Yeah, and poisoned him that way. But
it was so dumb. It was the one credibility losing moment in the episode. It just blew my mind how stupid that was. Oh, I'm going to poke it through my rubber glove and then put my military glove on top of it.
Yeah.
You won't be able to see this coming. Yeah, you will. Yeah, anybody will.
Blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
S.H.I.E.L.D. I did watch S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
We meet a Van Strucker
again.
We've met him before. Yes, but he's returned.
Yep.
which with him here, clearly, all I can think of is New Mutants, but it's not New Mutants. The Gifted.
Yes.
Yeah. There's no relation in the world, in the universes.
No.
basically, long and the short of it, I'll just get to the part I enjoyed the most. Deke realizes that Fitz and Simmons, which I hope they just have a last name hyphenated.
Fitz. I love how he said that. She's like, he's like, yeah, Simmons Fitz. That'll be great.
I like how he's realized that that's his grandparents.
Yeah. But he's not, like, telling them. He's,
no.
He's keeping it to himself.
No, and it's because of something that, because he says, well, my mom always says this. And then he hears Gemma say it. And then he's looking at, and I love the part where he's like, you want to play catch with the baseball man? He's like,
yes.
I don't have time to play catch right now, Dad. And he's like, fine, let's play. And then before they can even start, like, he realizes something.
Yeah.
And then later on, you coming along, Deke, or what? Sure, Grandpa. And it's like legit and insulting.
Exactly. Yep.
Depending on how you take it.
Yep.
But I thought it was pretty funny.
So I wonder if they're going to let him reveal that so that everybody knows what's going on by the end of the season, since this may be the last season.
Right.
You know?
I did like, I liked, they had the ship that had the Gravitonium on it.
That was a cool.
And it was Deke who found out, like, well, what if it got hit by lightning and
right.
it's up in the sky?
Yeah.
We would have noticed that. Holy shit, there it is. You know.
I guess we wouldn't have noticed it.
So that was cool. A lot more Hydra talk in this episode.
A lot more Hydra talk.
Yeah, a lot of Hydra talk in this episode. What did you think about Strucker and the General's daughter? That whole storyline where...
I don't trust her.
I don't trust her at all.
I think that she's doing just what she's supposed to do, and she's playing him, and she's getting him to trust her. By, in this case, she's appealing to his, you know.
Right. Being honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you, and I don't trust it. Yeah. I feel like she's just using him because they're all using him, and it's going to upset him to find out he was being used, but there'll be nothing he can do about it.
Mac takes one of the cyber soldiers, I guess, for the better, lack of a term, I guess.
That way they can kill them without feeling like they're killing humans.
Exactly. And we're going to take his robotic arms and stick them on you, Yo-Yo. Hey! I did like how Coulson was putting over having a fake arm, and then Yo-Yo was like, well, how does it feel? And he's like, well, you can't feel anything with it, but get used to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. And we got to see Jake Busey.
Who looks so much like his dad.
More and more every day.
Crazy, right? Like how much he looks like his dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gary Busey. I liked his character in this. Do you think he's a good guy or a bad guy? Do you think he cannot be trusted?
I assume nobody can be trusted.
Yeah, I know, right? Thanks a lot.
Ward.
Ward, yeah.
I mean,
I forgot to say his name. Thanks a lot, Ward.
Yeah, after Ward.
Everything.
Yeah, forget it.
Well,
Ward, Gary Shandling, I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Hail Hydra. What?
But anyhow, I liked it. It was a good episode. I'm enjoying it. We'll see what's happening next coming up here this coming Friday night, tomorrow night. I kind of, there's a part of me that hopes it's not the last season, but there's another part that's like, well, so before it gets stale.
Right.
A la Supernatural.
Right.
Let's let it go out on top.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I could go either way.
And I think if you look at S.H.I.E.L.D. and you mix it with, you know, Infinity Wars and all that stuff like that, I think it's a good timing for them to put it to bed if Marvel's going to be rebooting everything. Or maybe just really change it tremendously.
Right.
I'm trying to think if I watched any other shows.
Did you watch X-Files?
No, I was waiting to watch the last two episodes together.
Okay.
Because I don't know if it was a two-parter. I didn't think it was. I just wanted to watch them together. And so now that they have, I'm going to watch those before next week.
Okay.
Because there's only two episodes left this season. Possibly ever.
Yep.
So.
And I will hold off on my review of this episode.
Did you like them?
I've only seen the one.
Did you like it?
No.
Okay. Unfortunately, it doesn't surprise me.
I've liked several of the episodes this season.
I know, but it feels like last week was good, so this week is going to be bad.
I, like, literally, I made three notes, and my last one was, I don't like it much. because I just was not enjoying this episode. It was, I don't know. You may like it more. You may look at it and go, wow, this is pretty cool. But I, we'll talk about it more.
I did watch a new TV show.
I watched two new TV shows.
I watched the first two episodes of Deception.
Isn't that a good show?
Did you? You did watch it.
I did watch it.
Yeah. So, okay, initially my thought process of a magician helping the FBI, how are they going to come up with a new episode every week where he has to, where some magic is used as a crime? Like, this seems absurd. Because that's what the first episode is. Yep. And it makes it make sense.
I've seen the first episode. I haven't watched the second one yet.
Well, but in the second episode, thank you. I'm not going to ruin it. But in the second episode, they use magic as a way to stop the bad guy.
Illusion, deception, that kind of thing.
And, well, it's called forced perspective.
Oh, nice.
You know what I mean? And so they do use magic to stop the bad guy. And, of course, he has to prove himself several times, and he screws up and then has to prove himself again because that's how it works.
Right.
But so far, I actually enjoyed it. So the first episode, when he does the card trick on the TV, he's like, pick a card, and then he – isn't this your card or whatever? Fuck them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck five of hearts, right? Did you pick the five of hearts too?
See, I picked the queen.
I did, and they presented the five of hearts. Okay, so they dumped me.
Yeah.
Then I went back and I rewound it to watch it again. And what I noticed was from the first time he showed the cards to the second time, the other remaining four cards all changed suits.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so I wonder if that's part of the scam.
I think it is.
Because I was just at the Houdini Museum last week when I was in New York. We went to the Houdini Museum. If you go to New York City, go to the Houdini Museum. It's on 35th Street, West 35th Street. It is on the fourth floor of a building. There is no sign marking the door, so look the address up online. And I literally walked in the door and asked, like, the doorman, is this where the Houdini, you know, the Houdini Museum is? And he's like, yep, fourth floor. And even then, there's a paper on a window that just says Houdini Museum. And it's just like...
It's tragic.
And you go in, and the place is fucking amazing.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Absolutely amazing. I mean, it's not a huge room by any means, but it, legit, it's the there's a kid that works there. And I, forgive me, I can't remember his name, and I'm going to look it up while I'm talking about it. I call him a kid because I think he's younger than me, and that's what you do when you're old, I guess. Anyways, so he does a tour, and he gives you the quick tour, and he tells you all the things they have on display, what they were. He gives you the timeline and some things. They have a couple other things that aren't Houdini-related in there, and he explains what those are. I mean, it legitimately is just – it's cool as shit. And just to see these actual props, it's the second largest Houdini collection in the world. The first largest is owned by David Copperfield, and it is not open to the public. But they have, like, an actual escape coffin. They have handcuffs of his. They show you how he did some of his tricks. They actually have the fishbowl with the scarves from the last ever trick he did before he died. I mean, it goes through the whole thing. It is so cool, and it is definitely well worth checking out. His name is Nick Padilla. If you go on my blog, The Wrestling Insomniac, and you go through that post about my Madison Square Garden, you know, adventure, there's a link to his website in there. He did some magic tricks for us just because they also sell magic tricks there, and they want to show you them and this and that and everything. And he did a couple tricks for us. Holy shit, were they good. Like some card tricks. That were just crazy. And he was just so fast. It was absurd. I loved it. It was awesome.
Nice.
So definitely worth checking out. At least go check out his website. I think it's The Magic of Nick Padilla. And he's got a couple videos on there and everything. It's really, really cool. The place was awesome. So when I saw I think that's why I watched Deception, because I had magic on the brain from going to the Houdini Museum and the magic tricks and everything. And we did that trick at the beginning. I was like, but it's a great show. I really do think it's a great show.
Okay. My thought is this.
Yeah.
The first episode is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've only seen the first episode. It's basically – it reminded me partly of Now You See Me, the first one, not the piece of shit second movie.
Yeah, which I'm not going to watch because I saw the whole thing with the card flipping and I'm like, no.
Worse than that.
Yeah.
It's been out long enough. Spoiler alert. So one of the new big bad guys is – Woody Harrelson's twin brother.
Oh, Jesus.
Played by Woody Harrelson in a curly wig. And I don't mean like curly from the Three Stooges. I mean like a perm.
Because
like Woody Harrelson's character in the movie is shaved head. And this guy has like a big perm.
Yeah.
And they really didn't need to do that. They could have brought anybody else in as, like, you know, a former student or somebody else could have been the bad guy. But no, it had to be Woody Harrelson's brother.
Yeah.
And it was terrible. The movie sucked dick.
Okay.
So anyway, so I found that this was kind of like that, especially in the beginning when he's talking to the screen, he's talking to the audience, he's doing the magic trick, and, yeah. Oh, how did he do that? How did he do that? And also kind of reminded me, not exactly, but it did definitely give me the vibe of The Mentalist.
You know, so who else was I? Jeremy at work said the same thing. Mm. He had watched the first episode of Deception. He said he really reminds me of The Mentalist.
Yep. The Mentalist, as my sister said, was a lot darker. You know, the whole story behind it, you know, him denouncing Red John killing his family, you know, him being shattered because of it. In this one.
Never watched it.
You never watched Mentalist?
No.
That was the first episode. Dude, you never watched The Mentalist?
No.
Mike.
He seems so disappointed in me all of a sudden.
More like stunned.
Yeah, I never watched it.
That was the first episode. Basically, this guy was a mentalist, and he would tell people, he would go on these talk shows and, like, denounce it. He'd be like, look, there are no psychics, there are no magicians, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's all fake, it's all – and there was this guy who was a serial killer named Red John, and he called in, and Jane basically called him out, and he's like, oh, you're just a pathetic loser who never does anything and blah, blah, blah. He was feeling cocky, and he went home that night, and his child and his wife had been murdered by Red John. And the whole series is him helping the California Bureau of Investigation to solve crimes in his own way.
So it's not even like the FBI.
No, they're a branch of the FBI. They're the CBI. Okay. He's helping them in his own way, much like this, but also always conducting his own investigation as to who is Red John. Dude, it is phenomenal. That is that was one of my favorite shows when it was on. I was sad to see it go. I can't believe.
Has it not been on these last couple of years or something?
Oh, yeah. It's been off the air for several years. But, dude, I can't believe you never watched that show. That would have been something we would have talked about a lot.
Huh. I never did.
Wow. I'm kind of shocked.
Okay.
Like not like, oh, you're such a loser for that, but just genuinely, like, it'd be like if you told me you hadn't watched Scrubs, you know? It'd be the same kind of thing. Like, whoa, wait a minute, what?
You really?
I can't believe that. Holy crap, dude.
I'm checking to see if it's on Netflix right now. It's not.
No, probably isn't because it was on CBS. Maybe it'll be on CBS All Access. I don't know.
How many seasons of it was it?
I'm checking on IMDb right now. It, back me up here, people. If you saw The Mentalist and you know what I'm talking about, and why I can't believe that Mike hasn't watched this show, then back me up here. Send a message or something just so that I don't think that I'm insane. It was from 2008 to 2015. So it was seven years.
That's a lot of episodes to watch.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of episodes to watch.
Yep. 23 episodes in the first season, 23 in the second. Yeah. Oh. So it was
it's an hour-long show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's quite the commitment you're asking me to make.
Oh, it is. But it's the type of thing that I think if you started watching it, you'd pick it up. You wouldn't want to sit there and binge every episode back to back. Not at all. Because
if it was Jeremy, I could finish it in like a month.
The episodes play out more like like you said, like a Law & Order SVU type of thing. You know, there's always like a villain. They're always trying to solve a mystery. I'd say more like a Criminal Intent, actually. Think Criminal Intent meets this Deception show.
Okay.
It's that kind of thing.
It's not on Hulu either.
I'm going to have to figure out where you can watch this.
It's not on Netflix or Hulu.
I'm going to figure out where you can watch this because it's a crying shame that you haven't seen this show.
So what's the other new show you watched?
Rise.
Oh, is that the musical one?
Yes, because it was on right after This Is Us, and it has Josh Radnor, Ted Mosby.
Ted Mosby.
It's good. I thought at first it was going to be the next Glee.
Yeah.
But it's shot more like This Is Us. It's a little darker. It's a little heavier.
There's a lot of singing.
Well, not really. I mean, basically, it starts off with him. He's an English professor at a public school, and none of his kids are paying attention. None of them are listening to him. And he goes to the principal, and he's like, hey, I want to take over the drama program. I want to be a theater guy. He's like, okay, it's yours. And Rosie Perez is the acting theater director. And he goes in, and he's like, I'm sorry to tell you this. I thought the principal would have told you, but I'm taking over. and she's just pissed. She's, I'm getting out of here, blah, blah, blah. Good luck to you. But you're like, well, it's Rosie Perez. She's not going to be there for this.
Not a lot of Latino sass in your imitation there.
No. Well, I'm a little congested.
So. Oh, okay, fair enough.
I mean, maybe that would help, but
maybe, yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to do a real musical. He picks this one. It's called Spring Awakening. And I believe it's a European one, maybe German. But it's very controversial because it's all about teenagers having an awakening.
Yeah.
Apparently there's sex, there's incest, there's rape, there's suicide. And he's doing it as a high school musical.
That seems not good.
Yeah. And he's getting a lot of crap for it. He convinces the football quarterback, you know, the star quarterback guy to audition because he hears him rapping. And it's like a Hamilton kind of thing. And he's like, you got some chops there. You know, come try out for this. And I like it. So far, though, and I'm not sure how this is going to work going forward, they've managed to hit on a lot of things. You know, they've already got the one character who is a girl transitioning to a boy. You know, and he's like, what do we call you? Michael's fine. Okay, Michael it is then. They've got the kid who is in the strict Catholic home, and he gives him a role where he's going to have to kiss a boy. And the kid's like, I don't want to do that. I'm going to disappoint my parents. And basically, you're kind of led to believe, well, maybe he's just in the closet, doesn't realize he's gay. So they're already laying it on kind of thick that there are all these pertinent issues. I don't know. I enjoyed it. And it's got musical stuff in it, but it's not like Glee where they just suddenly break out in musical numbers. This is them practicing for a musical production of a show.
Okay, so that is a little different.
Yep.
Apparently, Spring Awakening is a legitimate Broadway show.
Yeah, because he named a couple others like Hair and Grease.
Yeah, well, it's based on an 1891 German play called Spring Awakening.
Nice.
It's set in the late 19th century Germany. The musical tells the story of teenagers discovering the inner and outer turmoil of teenage sexuality, and the musical alternative rock is employed as part of the folk-infused rock score.
Mm.
So, yeah, it was a 2006 Broadway musical adaptation of this 1891 play.
Nice.
And won a lot of Tony Awards and everything. So...
I like the show. Yep. I would say I'm not going to give it a super hard sell, but I would say check it out. You know, it may be something that you like. I know you like musicals.
I do. We've established that. I do.
Ted Mosby's in it.
Ted Mosby's
with some gray in the temples.
He's a good man.
He's having trouble at home because, you know, his daughter's like him, but something's going on with his son where he's apparently an alcoholic and calls him that to his face. You know, you are an alcoholic. I want you to go to AA. Yeah, I say check it out. It comes on, well, I know you don't watch traditional TV, but it comes on right after This Is Us. And so it's got two episodes so far. That's not much of a commitment. Watch one, see if you like it, or if you go, no, you know what, this is going to be.
No, that's not much of a commitment at all. I can do that.
Yeah.
Did you watch it? Did you got any other shows to talk about?
Well, if you want to talk about it, I watched all 13 episodes of Jessica Jones.
Oh, okay. Well, let's come back to it.
Okay.
I know Carolyn doesn't like it.
Okay.
She thought the first season was better than the second season. But I don't want to ruin it for others that haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that at the end.
Okay.
Okay. Do you watch any movies?
I only rewatched a movie.
What'd you rewatch?
Thor Ragnarok. Because my sister had never seen it. And I was like, hey, it's at Redbox. Let's go get it.
It's a good flick, isn't it?
It's a great flick. I had forgotten how funny it is.
Yeah.
Jesus, the humor is just so prevalent and so great. There's so many funny moments in that laugh out loud. Like when he throws the ball at the window, and it just full force right back in his head, knocks him flat on his ass. And knowing what I know now, that the big rock guy is actually the director and that he created that character just for himself, it makes him that much funnier.
Yeah.
You know, I'm made of rock. Don't worry, though. I'm not a threat to you unless you're made of scissors. Scissors joke.
I like it when Thor sees Hulk and he's all excited, then he goes, Loki, look who it is.
Yeah,
and Loki's trying to hide.
Yeah. And then when he grabs Thor and he's beating him around, Loki jumps up and he's like, yes, that's how it feels.
There's a lot of great humor in that movie.
Doug, the dead guy in the corner. Yeah, he tried to. He said he was going to take on the champion. He's dead now. Yeah. That's Doug. He's dead.
And he's like, well, I am going to be the champion. Okay, you can be new, Doug.
Or at the end, where's Meep live? Meep's dead?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know what to tell you why you came around. I didn't know what to do. Hey, Meep's alive.
Yeah.
Hey, we got this ship over here. You want to go with us? We're going to get out of here. Yeah. No, that was good stuff. That was some good stuff.
The revolution is on.
I watched two movies.
Which watch?
I watched Three Billboards Outside. Was Ebbing, Missouri?
Oh God, Ebbing, Missouri.
Did you watch it?
No,
I liked it.
I saw the commercials and I saw how much Oscar hype it was getting, and I just naturally assumed that it was going to be.
I watched the trailers and I talked about it last fall on the show.
Yep.
Frances McDormand's in it. Woody Harrelson. I liked it a lot.
Yeah,
I thought it was good. It's essentially this woman, her daughter was raped and murdered, and then her body was burnt. And
thorough. Holy crap.
And it's been 7 months, and there's been no arrests.
And was she in Maine?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
And there's these three – I mean, Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
And there's these three billboards that are kind of outside town, but they're not really on the way to anywhere, but they're there. And she goes to the advertising company who didn't even realize they had them. And, you know, rents them to have a message put up on them that basically says, you know.
Dear cops, you suck.
Kind of, yeah. And there's a lot of character development, a lot of character story in it. It's got that, it's not a Coen Brothers film, but it's got that weird high level of violence.
Sure looked like it in the commercials.
Yeah.
Like it could have
been. I really enjoyed it. When the movie ended, I'm not going to say I wasn't satisfied, and I don't want to ruin it for anyone that hasn't seen it, because I really think people should watch this. But when the movie ended, I just kind of went like, huh, okay. There was really no closure.
Oh.
But at the same time, it's almost like there wasn't any closure to give, which is hard to describe without giving it away. But Frances McDormand's really good in it. What's the guy's name? He was supposed to be Iron Man, but he wasn't. But then he came back as a secondary character. What's that actor's name? He's going to be Iron Man, but he lost out. But he ended up doing it. And so that's how Robert Downey Jr. got it. And then he came back in the second movie as like another billionaire tech trying to make an Iron Man suit.
Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, Sam Rockwell's in it. His character's
I didn't know he was going to be Iron Man.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, he was supposed to be Iron Man initially. And he couldn't do it for some reason or another, and then Robert Downey Jr. got it, and that's why in the second movie he was brought in as
Justin Hammer.
Justin Hammer, yeah. Yeah, Sam Rockwell's in this, and it's in the South, so he's kind of like a racist police officer.
Gotcha.
And but not really. He's too much of a drunk at the same time. It's kind of weird. It's worth watching. There's a great character development, kind of an interesting story. It's a two-hour movie, and it flows by really fast. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Cool.
I enjoyed it. Great dialogue. That's kind of important. Small town, everyone knows everybody, and people aren't happy with each other. And yeah, Peter Dinklage is also in it.
Nice.
And yes, he plays a midget. And
he's going to get typecast if he's not careful.
So inappropriate. And Woody Harrelson's in it. And yeah, it's a solid flick.
Cool.
The other movie I watched, and I got these both from Redbox, was I, Tonya.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoyed this movie. I mean...
Was it funny?
Yes.
Okay.
It was great. Like, it starts out like this movie is based on actual interviews. And it kind of starts out and it has the old, like, 4x3 pan and scan. And it's the actors as the characters, but it's them years later. And it's... the actual interviews. They just kind of redid them or whatever. And so, like, you have the stories being told from the perspective of Tonya Harding, Jeff Galluli, Tonya's mother, and this other character named Sean, who was Tonya's bodyguard and this and that. But his stuff looks like he's almost dead when these things were filmed. So it's like, or he wouldn't do the interviews. So it's like evidence, like FBI footage or something like that, or this interview he did with Diane Sawyer. And, movie is so funny. There's a lot of humor in it, and they break the fourth wall so much in this movie. Like, there's a scene where, like, Jeff Galooly's character is saying, like, yeah, well, and then she did this, blah, blah, blah. And you see Tanya Harding's character doing it. And then she looks, she's like, I never fucking did this. And keeps acting out the scene and everything based on what he's saying. And,
nice.
And then, like, there's a while there where the mom's not involved anymore. And she's like, well, my fucking storyline went to shit. And there's a lot of swearing. And
well, yeah, because they were all trashy people.
Yeah, there's a lot of swearing. They're poor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of swearing in the movie. There's a lot of fourth wall camera breaking where they talk on the camera screen. It's hilarious. There's like, well, this person said this. Well, that's not what happened at all. It's actually happened like this. So it's the way they took these different interviews, they didn't just try to make up. And I think it's done in a brilliant way because they didn't try to make a movie based on the interviews. They made a movie about the interviews and what the people said and how they contradicted each other in their statements.
Oh, nice.
And everything. So it was done really, really well. It was exceptionally enjoyable. And like you barely see Nancy Kerrigan in the flick, except when she's going, my knee and everything. And they make fun of it. They actually kind of
If it's being told from their point of view.
They make fun of it and kind of spoof it and everything like that. And it's actually a really interesting movie, really interesting story. Margot Robbie's great as Tanya Harding. Like I said, the way they talk right to the camera multiple times and you get your different perspectives. I think the writers and the director and everyone, they all did a great job presenting this story. I mean, it's really, really, really good.
Nice.
And I had listened to an interview. It was like an ESPN 30 for 30 podcast where they talked to the writer of the movie. And they also talked to this person. I think it was a woman who did the interviews that were used for the movie. But the interviews were done like in the 90s or early 2000s or something like that. And It was just really well done.
Yeah.
Very enjoyable.
I do want to check that one out.
Yeah, that I will watch that again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would definitely watch that one again. So
awesome.
So I watched those two movies.
Thanks.
Yeah. Got any trailers to talk about?
I do, and I was thinking about this tonight. Trailers, when it comes to like what we watched this week,
yeah.
Trailers are kind of an odd duck in that.
Yeah.
Because, like, I just watched two trailers within the past 2 days. And normally I'd be like, well, I should talk about those next week. But trailers are kind of pertinent right in the here and now.
Yeah. I'm not waiting on the Deadpool trailer for next week.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There was the Deadpool trailer.
That's pretty – that was pretty awesome.
Fuck, was great. Yeah. What the fucksicle is that? Holy Christ. Like, I felt like I was right back in the movie again.
Yes, and they blatantly tell us X-Force is going to be in the movie.
Yes.
I think it's pretty derivative, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And then, of course, they make fun of like Ryan Reynolds and I can't think of the guy's name, but they make fun of, like, well, they shouldn't make a third one. Why would they make a third one? That would be stupid.
Second one's gold. That's it, yeah.
No, I thought it was a great trailer as well.
I love how in the beginning they're playing I'm All Out of Love.
Yes.
Took me right back to Van Wilder.
Yeah.
Because he was playing that on his guitar. And I loved, and I especially thought of you because of your ongoing feud with Paul, when he's like, sorry, I'm late. I was rounding up all the gluten in the world and sending it out into space so that it could not hurt us anymore.
So it can't not. I'm like, double negative.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. Paul's going to love that part.
Yeah. I can't wait to watch it.
I can't either.
It looks great.
It felt like the same kind of energy as the first one. I love just the subtle things like him grabbing the guy. He shoots through his hand. He flips it around. Shoots him in the face with his own gun. Oh.
Yeah.
Chopping the guy's head off and then kicking it across. Oh. Cannot wait.
I like how they have the same taxi driver.
Yes.
Like,
Dupinder.
Oh, DP.
Yeah.
You have such a full life and strong thighs and just random
oh
shit.
Oh my God, I think I shit my pants. No, that might have been me.
Oh, DP, you have such a full life. Strong thighs. Yeah, that was good stuff.
It is good. And it's nice to see that him and Vanessa seem to be getting along very well.
Yes. Yes, yeah. It is. I enjoy that.
Yep. Terry Crews looking very good in a superhero outfit.
Yep.
Yeah.
We need to establish a team that's young enough to hold their own franchise for the next 10 to 12 years.
I hope he makes a Thanos joke in there. I hope when he sees Cable, he makes some kind of Thanos joke.
Me too.
But that was another trailer that we got, was the most recent Infinity War trailer.
I did not watch it.
Okay. Are you avoiding it because you've seen enough? Or
basically, I'm going to go watch the movie anyways. I don't want anything else.
Okay. It was good. Really looking forward to it. I saw a movie
a preview for a movie called, well, I saw one for the from the people who brought us Jackass.
Yeah.
It's another one of these type of things, except for this is Johnny Knoxville is playing a grandfather who's talking to his granddaughter and reminiscing about how he used to own an amusement park. And then this real amusement park came, excuse me, and was going to put him out of business. So him and his friends decided that what they would do is they would make an amusement park where there were no rules and there were no safety precautions or anything like that. And so all the risk was there, so you could just do whatever you wanted. And yeah, it's a lot of Jackass type stuff. Okay. Looks funny. Nothing I'll go to the theater to see, but
I watched a, I don't know if it's a trailer or a preview, whatever you want to call it, something called Muppet Guys Talking.
Oh, yeah.
It's something you have to go to the website, MuppetGuysTalking.com, to buy the movie, digitally download, or the DVD, whatever you want to watch it. And it's five of the original puppeteers, including Frank Oz and four others, because that's how much I know about the original puppeteers' names. but, like, all of them did multiple voices for the Muppet Show characters.
Right.
And it's just them talking about how they establish each of the characters, how they developed them, where they the voice came from them, their experiences working with Jim Henson. It looks really cool. And if you're a Muppet fan, it's probably worth checking out.
Yeah.
I watched a trailer for, I'm going to pronounce it so wrong, Sicario. Thank you.
The new one.
Yeah, Day of Salado.
Yeah.
And I just, it looks really good.
I was taken aback by the way that he fired the gun when he's holding it and he's taking his finger.
Yeah.
It's like that. You know, he's holding it sideways. That's a kill shot.
But basically, Benicio del Toro's character, who was in the first movie, who's a hitman, who's helping the U.S. government, he's now working against the U.S. government because of a witness that the government, the U.S. is like, yeah, you got to silence her. And he's like, no.
Right.
And then, you know, Josh Brolin's character is like, don't make me come down there. And he's like, good
Bring
luck.
It. Yeah.
He's like, all right, do your best. So I just go watch the trailer. It looks good.
Yeah.
It looks really good.
I never watched the first one, but
I enjoyed the first one.
Yeah.
This one is a far cry from the first one because the first one was literally like it was a drug bust, basically.
Right.
The first one was just a big cartel drug bust, U.S. to Mexico. This is basically like painting the U.S. looking bad, like these U.S. special forces drug task force people have to – they got sent down to Mexico to start a war between the existing cartels, and instead they kind of started a war between the policia and the cartels, and then now they have to cover up the only witness.
Nice.
So basically it paints the U.S. in a pretty negative light.
Yep. I hear you.
But it looks like a pretty solid flick. I don't know if the girl from the first movie is in this one because I haven't seen her at all, but it's definitely – it's very centered on Benicio del Toro, Josh Cole, and Jeffrey Donovan, and that whole team. So, yeah, it looks good. Comes out this summer, this June.
Watch the trailer. I'm probably going to butcher this pronunciation. It's for a movie called Tag.
Ah, fuck you. Tag. I watched that trailer as well.
Again, I don't know if I'll go to the theaters to see this.
No, I don't think I will either.
But it looks like a riot.
Yeah.
But a bunch of guys who were in their probably 30s, 40s.
Definitely 30s, yeah.
Jeremy Renner, Ed Helms. Oh, my God. What is that
guy's
name?
A bunch of people you know but you can't think of.
Yeah. They have been playing this one game of tag their entire lives.
Every May.
For the whole month of May.
The month of May, the game is on.
Yeah. And Jeremy Renner's the only one who's never been tagged.
Yeah.
And now he's getting married, so he wants to retire undefeated. And they're all like, nope, someone's going to tag him. And it sounds stupid, but when you watch the preview, like, they have some pretty funny moments. Like, one guy's there for the birth of his kid, and somebody walks by and he taps
him. Hey, buddy, how's it going? Doing great. You're it.
Yeah.
Great job, Anna. Keep going. You know.
Funerals, you know, I think that he'd want you to know that you're it.
And then he starts to laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it looks great.
It does.
It looks great. It looks really
like when he slides across the counter in the I guess like a cafeteria.
Yeah,
he drops the metal bar and uses it. Bam. Yeah, that one looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely something I'll watch at home.
Yeah.
The only other trailer I have to talk about. So this is weird. Typically, when I play Yahtzee, on my I guess on my phone.
Yep.
One of those Hasbro game, Electronic Yahtzee. And every once in a while, they'll have commercial. They have, like, ads, pop-up ads or whatever, like, in between rounds or whatever. And I typically don't pay attention. The second the 5 seconds is up, I hit this X button and go back to my game or whatever it is. Well, I actually got sucked into one. And it's for a... Let me just read the synopsis.
Okay.
It's called Sir No Face. And it's given, it's presented as a documentary.
Okay.
And the synopsis, this is off their website, I guess. And this is the synopsis. Award-winning filmmaker Chad Kalick's Sir No Face documentary chronicles the bizarre events reported on the Sydney Harbour Cockatoo Island, Sydney, Australia.
Okay.
And the mysterious circumstances surrounding the only known paranormal investigation in history to be officially sanctioned by the Australian government. Led by civilian guest investigator Craig Powell and his West Sydney paranormal research team, the mind-bending investigation would last in secrecy for nearly 2 years, which in addition to the experiencing the groundbreaking levels of paranormal activity, Powell and his team members were successful in filming countless events that defy all known rational and scientific explanation, including the first ever verifiable footage of a full-bodied apparition. That definitively proves the existence of ghosts. A must-see documentary for both skeptics and believers, Sir No Face is the single most important paranormal case ever to be documented and presented to the public. So, I cannot figure out if this is a Blair Witch-style fictional mockumentary, if this is legitimate, like 2 years of filming and they made this documentary out of it, or what it is, to be honest. I just know that the trailer made it look exceptionally cool. This website is selling. You can pre-order for $34.99. I don't know if that's Australian or American, to be honest. They only have 150 total Sir No Face DVD sets available. And it ships March 29th, 2018. And I don't know if, like, you can watch it online anywhere. I don't know if it's been brought to film festivals. I honestly haven't looked up
the history of this
enough about it other than just to talk about it.
Okay.
But it looks really cool. Let's see here. Tour dates. Yeah, they're doing a tour of it in Australia and New Zealand. Well, last November they were. So I think it literally is just kind of coming out. But again, I don't know if it's completely a fictional thing like the Blair Witch Project was. I don't know if it's, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, I get you.
Yeah. It says the brand new paranormal documentary from American ghost hunter, paranormal state, and a Blood Red Sky director, Chad Kalick. So this guy, Chad Kalick, had something to do with Paranormal State, apparently. I remember watching that.
Yeah.
So again, I don't know. I don't know. I just know it looks pretty damn cool.
Nice.
Yeah, so you should go watch the trailer, try to find it. Again, happened to be one, like, there's something about the first 5 seconds of that thing that maybe, like, go, wait a second, and watch it.
So you said it's Sir No Face?
Yeah, it's called Sir No Face. I'll try and find the document, the trailer on YouTube and share that. So, but yeah, it looks pretty damn cool.
Nice.
Yeah. That's all I got.
So, should we sign off before talking about Jessica Jones?
We're going to talk about Jessica Jones. See you next week, if you don't want to hear about it.
That's right. You don't want to be spoiled.
That's my caveat.
All right.
So, as a whole, what did you think of Jessica Jones? Season two, that is.
Right. I had stuff that I liked about it.
Yeah.
But on the whole, I felt it was a little weak.
Yeah. I'm going to screw up how I pronounce this, but I'm just going, or how I word this, whatever. But to me, this is the least superhero, least comic book-ish comic book series that we've seen.
Yeah.
You know, like it's almost the fact that her powers are like,
you don't know what they are.
You could take her super strength out of every time it's used, and it wouldn't change the episode.
Right.
Other than she'd have to work a little harder to chase someone down on foot, or work a little harder to open a door.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Realistically, like, you could take her mother's super strength out of the equation, And again, the only difference would be she'd have to work a little harder to kill people, and they'd have to work a little harder in their fistfights with each other.
Right.
But otherwise, to me, it was like, which doesn't make it a bad thing. No. Just compared to all the other series we've seen.
Right. No, I get what you're saying. Like, yeah. It just becomes a private eye show.
Yeah. Which there was a lot of that.
Yeah. I kind of got what you were saying originally when you told me that you were ahead of me and you said that you felt that Trish was a whiny bitch in this.
Oh, Patsy was just yeah.
Yeah, I kind of got that. I wasn't as turned off by her, but she definitely she was doing the stereotypical journalist thing. You know, everything that we see in movies and TV shows, journalists are assholes, basically.
Yeah, only out for themselves and the story and getting ahead. And
yep, and they're always just obsessed and driven, and they'll knock everybody down and knock them out of the way. And it's unenjoyable.
Yeah, very unenjoyable.
It's not a good quality. Like, it makes me never want to, A, be a journalist, or B, associate with one.
Right.
My apologies to all journalists out there if you're not like that. But yeah, I felt like with this one, like at least last season, there was a focus on like Kilgrave, you know?
Right.
They had an enemy there, and it was her trying to figure out what she was doing in this world, trying to cope with the past. I guess in this season, she's trying to cope with the past, but in a very different way. You know, we have that whole thing in the beginning where, like, Trish brings her the box with the ashes of her family.
Yeah.
And she's like, you finally have to deal with this. She's like, I don't want to. I'm not ready to deal with it. I'm not, blah, 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 blah. And she wants to find out what happened to her. She wants to find out why it is she lived and they died and why she has these powers. And at first, she doesn't even care. Trish cares more than anyone.
Right. Which I think is a good setup. Like, when I saw that in the first episode, I was like, oh, this is a good setup for the season. She's going to go to discover how she was made. And she kind of does.
Yep.
But
kind of doesn't.
But kind of doesn't, yeah. Yeah.
You know, we get the Whizzer.
Yeah.
Funny name for a hero. Fear-based speed.
Yeah.
Like, he can only move super fast when he's afraid.
Yep.
But he's in there for, like, an episode and a half. And
he's dead.
He's dead.
Yeah.
And we've got this unknown force that's out there killing special people.
Yeah.
You know, the two of them that are out there.
Right.
And then turns out, oh, she meets the person and it's the doctor who, you know, saved her life. Oh, but it isn't really because this person actually has super strength like her and jumps up on a rooftop and, you know, and it wasn't really the doctor that saved her life. It was her mom.
Wanted to kill Patsy.
Yeah. Because
exposing all this. Because her mom's got anger issues and can't control things. And
And Jessica does too, honestly. I mean, she drinks her
probably. She's very boozy in this one.
Yep. But she was boozy in the last one.
I didn't care for the whole Carrie Ann Moss story, Jerry Hargreth.
Oh, my God. That felt like, oh, we've got to make sure because this is where she we've got to put her in somehow.
Yeah. So she's going to get cancer and then she's going to meet someone, ALS, and she's going to meet someone and think that, oh, she's going to get fooled into thinking there's a cure. And then she thinks she's going to get cure.
And because there's another special person that's in jail and he can't get out, but he can heal people by touching them.
And she's going to get him out of jail and then they're going to rob her and then she's going to go find them. And then, like, that was all unnecessary. Like, at the end of the day, I did not see how that had anything to do with anything. Or establishing anything.
Like, all I could figure was that they were trying to give more depth to her character.
Right.
But she doesn't need more depth. She is a cutthroat, awesome lawyer.
Right. That's all you need.
Yeah. It worked for her bringing Foggy on board. We saw him. We're like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's working here.
Yeah. For, literally 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 minutes.
Yep.
And then he wasn't seeing the rest of the season.
Yep.
You know?
But he was constantly working on the plan to undermine her... The two partners that were trying to run her out of the office, and he finally did. It felt like they kind of came up short, and they were like, we got to fill something else in here.
Yeah, I don't know. Would you say, did you like this season as a whole better than the first season?
No. No, I liked the first season better because I felt like the threat was much more presentable. Like, I didn't like her mom as the threat. It was kind of lame. It was lame in the, oh, well, everyone thought she was dead, but she wasn't really back from the dead. And the same experiment that brought her back brought you back, so you both have the same superpowers, but, you know, she's more mentally unstable.
Yeah.
It was, I didn't like it.
You know, initially my thought was I kind of like this season better than the first, and I went back and I kind of read some more stuff on the first season, and talking to you now and everything like this, I've kind of changed my thought process on it, and I'm really at that. Yeah, the first season was better. I guess I still didn't really care for either season.
Right.
I
didn't hate this season.
I didn't hate either season. I think I enjoyed it more on the Defenders.
Yep.
Than anything. And I really, I feel like they spent a lot of money on this season and didn't deliver a lot, I guess.
No.
Or they delivered us a story that took too many episodes to play out.
I think 13 was too many. Defenders had 8, and it was really good.
Yeah, I think 13 was way too many on this. Because the other backstory is Malcolm, you know, trying to be her assistant, and then finally going to work for the Asian fella.
Yep.
Chen.
Which, again, there were a lot of characters in this season that I felt were given too much emphasis. Yeah. Like him. He was just weird. Like, one minute he's like, I'm going to buy you out. I'm going to be the only private investigator in town. She's like, you can have your clients, I'll have mine. He's like, no, I want to be the only one.
Yeah, which makes no sense. It's New York City.
Yeah. And then the next thing you know, he's a sniper. And he's trying to take her out. The fuck?
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense.
And Patsy / Trish decides, I'm going to undergo the same procedure so that I can have powers because, as she said at the end, and I completely agree, you don't deserve these powers.
Right, she doesn't.
You've got these powers, and you not only aren't doing anything with them, you're being a completely miserable asshole about them.
Yeah.
You know? You don't deserve these powers. They should be with someone who's going to help people.
Right.
You don't even help yourself, much less other people. Because Jessica was just, like, focused on, I'm going to get my mom, we're going to run away together and be together forever, and I think it was a little harsh that Trish decided to end things like that. I mean, but...
Yeah, that's the other thing. When did Trish become such an expert shot?
Yeah, moving target.
Yeah, a moving target.
With a pistol.
And from quite the distance. Mm. Yeah, and no scope. Using eye sights.
Iron sights, yeah.
Yeah, and that didn't make any sense.
No.
And her... Her all season I couldn't stand, and then at the end when she decides that she wants the doctor to do the same thing to her so she can get powers.
Right.
And her mother, Trish's mother, was just obnoxious as
she
well.
She was always obnoxious.
Yes.
Like, that was the whole thing, was that she
Which
raised
makes
her to
sense.
Get a pretty girl.
And, right. And, and then, of course, at the end, we see, you know, Trish is going to drop her phone and catches it on her foot.
And flips it back up.
She's like, maybe it's up to this. Because obviously, you know, she does have powers in the comic book. So if they do a third season of this show, I'm sure we'll see them.
And it's quite possible that it'll be the two of them fighting each other. You know?
Quite possibly.
Which I would like to see that because I think that it would be kind of, refreshing because you'd have Trish who wants to help people. And she'd be wanting to punish Jessica for being such a selfish bitch. And Jessica wants to punish Trish for killing her mother.
Yep. I get it. At the end of the day, it's her mom. No matter what, it's your mom. I get that mentality because...
I do too, but, you know, she flip-flopped. She had that whole thing where, her mom tried to kill Trish. And she got mad at her mom. She's like, you tried to kill her. She's my only family that I've ever had.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, an episode later, she's yelling at Trish, this was my family and you took her from me. Right.
And then at the end, anytime I look here, all I'm going to see is one person that killed my mom.
Yeah. You know, up until a week ago, you thought your mom was dead.
Yeah, that's it. I like Jessica Jones' character much better in The Defenders than I did in this season.
Yeah. Yeah.
This season of the show.
And again, I didn't hate it, but it just really, a lot of it was hard for me to, like the Hogarth thing, you know? Oh, she's got ALS and she's going to be run out of the thing. So what does she do? She has an orgy with hookers and cocaine. And like, why?
Yeah, I didn't get any of it.
I mean, you could probably sit here and give me a million reasons.
No, I can't.
My comment is, Why do I need to see it in the show?
Yeah, it didn't establish
She anything. Was a secondary character, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't need that kind of character development from her. So.
Are we going to get a third season of Jessica Jones? Do you know this?
I don't know. Of course, we don't know what's going on right now with the whole Netflix Disney thing. You know, well, they've been talking about pulling their.
I've heard that they can't. I've heard that that Disney can't pull the Netflix Marvel show, the Marvel shows from Netflix because the contract between the two about it and everything.
But I think that's only till like 2019.
Okay, maybe fair enough. I don't know. Yeah, but I don't know if we're going to get a third season of this. Do we have are they doing a third season of Daredevil? I haven't heard anything, to be honest. Like after the Defenders, I knew we were getting Punisher.
Did we already have a third season of Daredevil?
I thought we only had two seasons of Daredevil. Hmm. Let's see here.
We're getting another season of Daredevil. I know Luke Cage. The next season comes out in a couple months.
Okay, so we are getting another season of Luke Cage.
Yeah, they've already had the previews.
Oh, here we go. Oh, yeah, so Luke Cage, June 22nd, 2018. And then Iron Fist's second season is currently filming, it says. And then the Punisher's second season is currently filming, which, okay, yay. So, and the third season of Daredevil, it says it's filming, and it says it's going to be released this year.
Okay.
So...
Yeah, it's got, on IMDb, it's just got placeholders, but it's got 13 episodes listed for Daredevil.
So. Yeah. So, we shall see. I guess that's it for me.
For next week,
yeah.
Krypton did release this week.
I am going to watch that.
Yeah, I'll be checking that out.
Yeah, I'm going to watch Krypton. I would have watched X-Files for next week's episode. Yep. And then hopefully the wife and I will get a chance to watch This Is Us. Yep. And is this the last week of was this the last week of Legends?
No.
We have a couple more weeks?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Okay. So cool.
Yeah, I think Supergirl doesn't come back till like the end of April.
April 16th. So cool. All right, well I guess that's it for me.
That's it for me.
Awesome. Well, out there on the interweb. On the Twitter, you can find me at Superstar Mel.
I'm at the Quantum Geek G33K.
So is that what did you watch? Facebook is what did you watch this week? And thanks.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week for episode 104. Or yeah, 256.
Yeah.
Or
Yeah.
95.
All right. The recording won't stop. Come on. There it is.